So now, if you want the goodness of God in your life, I'm telling you, you're going to have to receive the Word of God and walk in it. You're going to have to walk in the Word of God. Did you know that the Bible says He is the Word of God? Did you know God is the Word of God? It's quiet. It's quiet. I was expecting some old saints to say, I know the Word is true and right. I know the Word is God. For in the beginning was the Word of God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God came and got into a body and walked around. God Himself got into a body, a human body, through Mary, without the seed of a man, but the seed of God. God's life got to the earth. And the Bible says that as He walked out every word that His Father told Him to walk. And He found success by staying in the Word. And when the devil tried to get Him out of the Word, He said, it is written, my Father has already declared, it's already been stated, it is already sure, it's already done. I won't step out of the Word. And the Bible says that Jesus left with the power of the Spirit because He stayed in the Word. Some of us need more power in our life. And I want you to know it's not because God's not powerful, but you have to walk in the Word. You have to walk in the Word. We are guaranteed certain successes in our lives, but the success requires you to agree with God. You don't find success by saying, I believe God is God, but I'm not going to follow Him and His Word. The Bible says that if you're going to really have comfort and peace and joy, and you're not going to let your heart be troubled, the only way for us as saints to do that is to know that we're walking with God. King David put it like this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He goes on to say, and I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm walking with God. I'm walking on the path with God. I'm on the way with God. And because of that, my heart's not worried. Some of you that are worrying and doubting, some of you that are getting caught up in the season, just like the world is known as those that don't know God. So you shouldn't worry like the world if God is with you. And if you ever want to know, God, are you with me? Here's a better question. Are you with Him? And if you're walking in His Word, you're with Him. I'm trying to make it simple. I can say amen. We could all go home early today. Have those nachos, Seahawks. You know what we want to do. But if we don't get this right, we'll walk out of here and God's Word will go one way and we'll go another. But Jesus put it like this, I am the way. Follow me, which means everything I say is the way in which I want you to go. It's the way of safety. It's the way of truth. It's the way of righteousness. So we should be so hungry and thirsty for the Word of God so that we can walk in it. Anytime I walk in faith of God's Word, I'm guaranteed success. I'm going to say it again. Anytime I walk in faith in God's Word, God Himself, without being a man that He would lie, guaranteed my success. So anytime I'm going to go do a new endeavor or make a step forward, I need to make sure that it agrees with the Word of God. If it agrees with the Word of God, before I even take the step, I'm already confessing from the beginning that the end should be prosperous because the Word in which I'm walking has already guaranteed it. But a word is only as good as the one who spoke it. So once I come into the knowledge that God has spoke to me, now by faith, I'm in relationship with God who speaks to me. All I need is a word, Lord, from you because you're faithful. You're not a man that you would lie to me. I know that by faith, the worlds which we see were framed by the Word of God. Everything I see was framed by the Word of God. The fact that the world is spinning around right now, do all the kids in the house, how many kids? Raise your hand if you're under 15 years old. Do you guys know that right now you're going over 1,000 miles an hour? We're moving fast. You understand that? Everybody knows that, right? So one day looks like this. That's one day. And I'm going to go around. I'm going to be the earth. Raquel, would you come here? Would you be my sunshine? Could you stand right here for me? But I need you to be bright like the sun. So what would the sun do? Like, be bright. Put your hands up or something. Yes, okay, she's sunshine. Now watch. One day, what did the sun do? Consistent. The Bible says that light is the one thing that man has been able to measure that has no variance. You know, sometimes in our life, we're up and down. Sometimes in relationships, we're up and down. But God's light towards us is consistent. The Bible says there's no variance. They can measure no deviance or no deviation in it. It's perfectly consistent. And so every day, the sun is consistent. And every day, I have to choose to understand that when I face the sun, I say, God spoke by his word, this sun, which is perfect towards me, keeping me alive by heat and enough not to burn me up. But the sun is good for me. It gives me energy. Put your other hand up towards me too. And it feels good coming towards me. Thank you, baby. And so each turn is one day. I need sunshine. So 365 days, I'm not going to do all of them, but we go all the way around. And after we've done 365, we get back to 1 year. That's 1 year. That's a little science for all the kids. Everybody got that? But the whole time, little Miss Sunshine is shining towards us. And every time I see it, I have to confess, God, by his own power, spoke that sun to bless me. Every time I see it. And now, if the same God that spoke the sun, which I see 365 times a year, the same God spoke that sunshine, also speaks to me and tells me, don't do that today. How much do I truly believe it's the same God? Is God good?
Mm-hmm.
Do you love me?
Yes.
How much?
A lot.
Now, if this little girl right there can bring some joy to you by simply shining, how much more do you think God's love towards us, who made her, who made me, who made the sun, don't you think God might have something good in this day for you? Do you think that he maybe made it so that you would explore? Okay, Sunshine, you can sit down. Thank you. My arm was getting tired for her. Do you think that maybe God wants to let you enjoy something that he has already prepared for you today? Do you think that maybe if he made the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, how much more do you think he has for you who have accepted him and become the house or the temple of his presence? How much more that every sacrifice he made by coming to the earth and dying on a cross and raising again, how much more those that have received that sacrifice and go by his name and are said to be part of his household, how much do you think on every single individual day that God wants you to have something that comes from so that you can see how good he is? Do you think he really wants you to have something that's good? And so the Bible says that's why he sent the word. So every day that comes around, God says a man does not live on bread alone. Every single individual day, I live based on what God says. The Bible says we live based on every word that comes out of his mouth. And so when God speaks, when I wake up in the morning, when we ask for our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread, what we're saying is, Lord, from heaven to earth, who created all things, speak to me so that I can agree with you and enjoy the sunshine of your day. I have to be waking up looking for God to speak to me. I need the word in my life. I need the word. The Bible says we have to know that God is God, and he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. You have to diligently seek God. Well, yeah, I've already sought God. I found him, and I'm a Christian. That's how I became a Christian. Well, what about today? It's a brand new day. What has been the most important thing in your day? Do you long for God to speak to you more than you long for Facebook to speak to you? Do you want the world to say something to you and tell you you look good with that outfit? Or do you want God to say you look good in your spirit? What? Which one? Who do you want to talk to you? Do you wake up wanting to please God or do you want to please man? But here's what I found out about man. No man can make or take my day. No man can make it. No man can take it. Now, I can give it to a man. I can let a man take it. Well, how would you let a man take it? Unforgiveness. Because maybe he did it 43 rotations ago, long time ago. But I brought it into this new day. And though the sun is shining on me, and though God is offering me new things I've never known, I would rather meditate on what happened 43 days ago. So I can let people steal from me if I want to, but I have to give it, just like Adam and Eve had to give it to them. They had to give the authority. They had to give the blessing they received away. So we have to make sure that we guard our hearts and minds and that we are protected by the peace of God. And I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, it feels so good. Minister Lacey was here on Friday. She showed up a few minutes late. You could see she was rushing, and she just said, I just needed to get to prayer. She said, I just want to be in his presence. And so she pushed everything aside, whatever was going on, and she pushed her way here because she said, my desire is I know if I just get into his presence, I know that if I just shut everything else down, his goodness will be my main focus. When is the last time you made one whole day based on his goodness? One day based on his goodness. One day. So out of all the rotations that you've done and all of the rotations you will do, the successful ones is when he becomes the most important thing in that individual day. How many individual successful days do you have with that type of recipe? And I can tell you, if you keep going forward and hoping and making plans that you want it to be good, and you read a Bible verse that fits what you want, but you don't enjoy it when it comes, you can go a whole nother year and be shocked that you're reaching December and you haven't fulfilled or seen or enjoyed things you believed you were supposed to enjoy. It's funny how when a year comes, we get shocked. Wow, it's been a year. I was supposed to have lost this stomach. But I looked down and there it is. You know what that means? That means for 365 days, it wasn't my focus. That's why when the deacon just read up there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, let's just make it simple. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. Whatever you put into a day is going to be what comes out of the day. And if you put in the word of God, the Bible says his word is a seed to us. And all that receive it. If you're good ground, guarantee you, you're going to bear the fruit of it. So come one year, I should be more fruitful. If I spend my days making God the most important thing, I should be more fruitful than the day I started. And I can't say, well, yeah, that was a tough year because there was a famine. There was no famine with me. Famine. That sounds like a condition of earthly things. But my life is based on heavenly, big things that are bigger than the earth. So I'm asking you the question. Are you a connoisseur of God's word? Do you love the truth? Last week I preached a message about this is the day that the Lord has made, very specifically, A-D-B-R-A. Which means once I've come into the knowledge, once I've gotten saved, every single one of my individual days after that should be different. I should never live a life in darkness again once the light of God has come into my life. Once I have been set free from the bondage of slavery of sin and death, once I have been reconciled to the presence and the life of God shining on me, once I've come into the understanding that I can speak to God and he will speak to me, once I know that my name is written in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, once I know that every weapon formed against me has no right to prosper this day, once I know that I can speak and bless the Lord and he would be present, Once I know that, I should never go back to days of old. Every day forward should be a day that I can truly say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And I'm glad because I have put him number one in the day. How am I doing? I love encouragement. I told my wife, I said, baby, if you encourage me, I think I could be president. It's amazing what a little encouragement makes you feel like you can do. Listen, many guys have gotten fights and gotten clocked because one of their friends said, you can take him. They looked at it. Now, he knew he couldn't beat him, but his friend said, I think you can do it. Now, the friend watched from the side, threw him in the ring. But God is so good. God is so good. And who are we that he would call us his children? And that he would let you and I, for now on and every day, the rest of my life, I am the temple of his presence. I'm the focus of his affection. I'm the subject of his kindness and grace. I'm the apple of his eye. Every day from now on, once I've come into that, I'll never not be that. Forever, from now on, every one of my days is defined by I'm one of his, and he has redeemed me to himself, and eternity is with him. Surely I have something to be thankful for. Is that right? We should look at scripture, otherwise it'd be a bad preaching session. But I'm going to read it from the Amplified, so we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read 1 through 6. If you have it, say amen, but you probably don't have it in the Amplified. And someone said, I do. So again, where's Deacon Kinlow? I'm thankful for this board too. So that's chapter 3. Let's go back to chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, it reads, my little children, believers, dear ones, I'm writing you these things so that you will not sin and violate God's law. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate who will intercede for us with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, the upright, the just one, who conforms to the Father's will in every way, purpose, thought, and action. And he, that same Jesus, is a propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice that holds back wrath of God that would otherwise be directed at us because of our sinful nature, our worldliness, our lifestyle. And not for ours alone, but also for the sins of all believers throughout the whole world. So every time that we spin around, every one of God's children has an advocate that day. Every time we go around, Jesus himself is positioned to pardon you, to promote you, and to stand in the way of wrath and say, no, these ones are mine. Every day. Are you enjoying that? Does that mean, how much did that mean to you? He is your advocate. Once you come into the family of faith, once you've been born again, Jesus himself has positioned himself to block the wrath of God, which we deserve. And instead of the wrath, no longer the curse, but shines the blessing to us. And he gives us instructions and says, you want to tap into some of this goodness? And he gives us a word and says, wash 7 times in the pool and see if you can see. He'll tell you, listen, go over here and give this seed and that seed will grow fruit for you. He'll tell you, walk away from there. There's a snare and a trap over there. Let's go this way. But every day, he's an advocate for us. And if he's an advocate for us, that means every day when he speaks, He's speaking to be an advocate for me, to promote me, to bless me. When he speaks to me, he wants me in this day to have his best. And so his words and instructions aren't grievous to me. They're not a burden to me, but they're what I'm waiting for. When the sun comes up, I'm not just waiting to see the sun. I'm waiting to hear the sun. Because he's an advocate to me. I've accepted that. Let's just keep going. Verse 3. And this is how we know. Watch. Daily. By experience. I don't just know because something happened 7 years ago. I got saved. I had an experience with God. I got goosebumps. It was amazing. I cried. I don't even know why I was crying. It was just awesome. But that was 7 years ago. The Bible tells us that it's supposed to be a daily experience. It's supposed to be a daily experience. It's supposed to be a daily I'm supposed to enjoy it. Jesus put it like this. Give us this day. Let us experience and enjoy and participate with the goodness of your planning for those that have received you. A daily experience. Have you had your daily experience today? Have you had your daily experience today? You know, that's why we try to do the service the way you do. You try to put music and promote. You try to have someone that will edify and encourage. We try to open in prayer so that you can leave things behind that can't make this new experience. There's some things that can't make the trip. Trust me, when we were going to Israel, and they told us our bags can only be 50 pounds. And we had this little scale to try to weigh it. Some stuff had to be left behind because it wasn't worth the price of bringing. And also because you're traveling and you're moving and you're going into new places, some things are just heavy. There are things for you to experience God's best for you that you're going to have to leave behind. There's things. You have to forfeit some of your United States rights to enjoy kingdom rights. You have to forego some of your rights to enjoy what God has for you. And this is how we may discern daily by experience. Oh, man. I remember the first time I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was 12 years old. And I was literally in an upper room. Bethel Christian Church, Seattle, Washington. I got baptized in Jesus' name that day, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost that afternoon. It was a long day because back then they used to make you tarry. And the prayer warrior ladies would look at you and say, I got all day. So you better put everything aside and just focus. You're not having lunch right now. But I began to know that, wow, I'm experiencing for myself that I'm not saved because the preacher prayed for me. I recognize that I'm saved because God himself is present in this day. And from now on, he will be present for the rest of my life. That was a shocker. God communicated to me with words that people can't understand. So that tells me you can't understand the way God is to me. You might know similar how he is to you, but you can't define how he is to me. That's my personal relationship. You can't tell me how my relationship is with my wife. Only we know how it is. And so only you and God can know that he is witnessing you're one of his children. I can promote you and tell you you're one of his children but if you doubt it, the Bible says every one of your days will be determined by the doubt and not the faith. All right. I think I've explained daily experience enough. That we're coming to know him. It's like we're just now coming to know him. The Bible says your first day in the light of God, I don't care if you're 99 years old, the Bible says you're a baby. Everybody comes to God as a babe. And now, if you want to mature You don't mature by simply making it 15 years. You mature by how many individual days you stack up in a row, with God being the centerpiece and the focus. You mature when you go faith to faith, glory to glory. You mature when you learn to use the weapons that God gives you to fight your warfare. You mature when he brings you through things and shows you that he's greater than everything. You mature when you learn to shut your mouth and speak the word only. You mature when you begin to see through the light that God, surely, it might seem like darkness tonight, but joy comes in the morning. You mature when you go through some things. But most of us pray to not go through things. Most of us, our prayer is, Lord, don't let me go through anything. And if you were with me, how come you're letting me go through this? Because the promise is this: I will be your shield and your exceeding great reward. If I'm with you, what are you truly going through? Now, we know we go through stuff. The Bible says that anybody who is going to love the Lord and serve him faithfully, he says you're going to go through trials. We know that. But he said, like a pregnant woman, the pain that you have isn't worth mentioning compared to the glory of the life that's coming. I'm trying to preach it, Daddy-O. So we're coming to know him. As much as you think you know him, you're just coming to know him. Today he's saying, come a little closer. I want you to know something new about me that you've never known before. In all of your other days, you've never known this. If God made you that offer today, what would you leave behind to go find out what that is today? If he said, I'm going to show you something today that in all of your days so far, you've never known about me and our relationship and about your future, how much would you seek out what he has to say? And that's what he's saying every day to us. He's inviting us into that every day. But it's amazing. Just like the Bible says, we do like other people in Scripture, and we say, let me first go bury my father, and then I'll do that. Let me first go make this land transaction, and then I'll go do that. Hey, let me first go to work and spend all of my good energy, and if I have time left after I eat, I'll see what you got to say. Some people make this comment. Yeah, it's just weird. Every time I read the Bible, I fall asleep. And I can just hear the devil, rock-a-bye, baby, on a treetop, when the wind blows the green on my heart. Tomorrow you will worry. Tomorrow you will wake up and not know who you are. Tomorrow you're going to try to find approval from people. And because they're inconsistent, unlike the light, you will find an inconsistent answer, which will keep your life inconsistent. Sweet dreams. So we want to perceive, recognize, understand, and become better acquainted. Every one of your days should have that goal in your relationship with God. Every one of your individual days should have this expectation. Lord, I want to perceive, recognize, understand, become better acquainted with you. Every individual day should have that ingredient in it. If we keep, bear in mind, observe, practice his teachings, his precepts, and his commandments. Keep going. Whoever says, I know him, I perceive, I recognize, I understand, and I'm acquainted with him, but fails to keep and obey his commandments, his teachings, is a liar. And the truth of the gospel is not in him. Isn't that an amazing place in Scripture? It says, we should long to be acquainted with him. We should long to understand and be more familiar and for him to shine and show us new things. But anybody that already says, oh, yeah, no, I already know him. But then when he, who they say they know, who they recognize made all things, who holds eternity in his own hand, when he speaks, you don't even do his words in that day. sounds silly. How can I know him if I don't learn how to walk in his advocacy, his advice, his leading, his counsel, his shepherding, his blessing, his favor, his life? And so I have to have the expectation I'm going to experience what God has for me by walking in the things he said today. It's getting quiet. It was hallelujah a second ago. What happened? Come on. Whoever says, let's read it together. Ready, read. Whoever says, I know him, I perceive, recognize, understand, am acquainted with him, but fails to keep and obey his commandments, teachings, is a liar. And the truth of the gospel is not in him. Now, one of the things that we mess up on is that word obey his commands. I'm not obeying his commandments so that on this day, maybe God's wrath won't hit me because I've earned or deserved or by my own goodness have positioned myself, well, no, you can't judge me because I'm obedient. It's not by my goodness, and I'm not trying to get God to start loving me on that day. But because I have come into his love and his light, and I know that his words, his commands, are the commands that make the world go round. His commands are what makes the sun shine on me. When I have found out that this advocate, this God, has made a word for me to step on this day, it's the only safe place for me to stand in the whole day. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will still stand. That means when the rumblings and the storms and the problems of life hit, if I'm on the word, he says, you're on a rock. You're on a rock. It's going to be sure. So are you standing on the rock? Don't look at obedience as maybe God would be pleased with me. No, God already loved you and sent his son to you. And when you came into the light of that, man, it's your good pleasure to do his will because every word he speaks is good to you. You don't get to know God as provider until you walk in his words of what he says about provision. Maybe you've confessed him Lord, but you've never walked in his words of what he said in a certain area. And so there's a lot of people that believe that, okay, I believe that the sun's shining on me. When I die, I'm going to heaven. But I don't believe that same God wants to heal me. I don't know that. And so we can think, well, I'm saved and I'm living a Christian life, but we're not enjoying our advocate. We're not enjoying the day. We're not getting to know him and perceive him in a new way. We're not understanding him. God is so deep and so far. How do you think you've reached the ends of who he is yet? We used to play this game. I used to love it. And if I ever missed it, I would cry. But they had this thing where for kids, they would put straw in a square. And underneath the straw was coins, was money. Anybody ever had to do that at the fair or something? Anybody else? Was I the only? Thank you, Aaron. We're the same age. Must be. Parents got cheap. Now they just give them candy. And then spank them later. But I used to go for the coin, man. And after a while, people give up from digging. But in my mind, there's more under there. Surely we haven't gotten every quarter. And back in my day, a quarter, that was a pop or a candy bar, a full-on pop or candy bar. That was 25 one-cent candies. Anybody? Remember the one-cent candies? Chico Stick? You know. Come on. Jolly Rancher, the little one. Whew. Boston Baked Beans. The good stuff. 25 pieces of candy in one quarter. Trust me, I was looking. Some of us have come to the conclusion that there's nothing else underneath your relationship with God, that you have it all already. And so you don't have any urgency to seek treasure, hidden treasure that God has prepared for you to find. He wants you to find it. Trust me, if you're the one who laid the money underneath it, and you know you put $100 a coin down there, and only 37 has been found, and everybody starts giving up, That doesn't make you feel good as the one who put it down. You're like, hey, psst, there's more under there. You start whispering to people, come on, keep digging. You might want to check that area. You might want to check over here. You try to direct them to it, right? Because it's your good pleasure for them to find it. I want you to know on every single individual day, it's God's good pleasure for you to uncover something he had hidden away for you since the beginning of time. It's his good pleasure for you to find it. Oh my goodness, he wants us to find it. And so in order to find it, I have to follow his commandments because his commandments are guiding me to everything he has. His commandments aren't the relationship of be good or you're in trouble. It's would you receive everything I have for you? Then follow me there. Come over here with me. Look under that rock. And I can just see the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please or make daddy happy. But your faith, when you go and follow what he says and receive something he had for you, that makes God to be glorified. The Bible says you want to be glorify the Father. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bear much fruit. I want you to produce all that God has for you. If you do that, he's glorified in you having an abundance. Oh, Lord, just give me one lump of coal today and I won't complain. Well, what if I want to give you the treasury from my throne? What if I want you to have more than enough today? Well, just give me a lump of coal. Let's just keep reading. I said we're going to go to 6. We'll read 2 more in a row so that I don't slow you down. But he who keeps, I love the word treasures, his word, who bears in mind his precepts, who observes his message in its entirety, truly in him has the love of God been perfected, completed, reached maturity. By this we may perceive, to know, to recognize, and be sure that we are in him. And everybody said, we got so many places to explore today, but I know we don't have that kind of time. Can we go to chapter 3, starting at verse 1? We're going to read 1 through 9 straight through without me interrupting. But I want you to understand God has hidden things, and it's his good pleasure for you to find it. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered the hearts of minds of man the things that God has for you. But to us who have received him, who are walking in the light of day, who are perceiving and seeking after what God has for us, he says that for us, he reveals by the Spirit everything he's freely wanted you to have. So today, this is the day the Lord has made. Starting at verse 1, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. What a privilege. And so we are. The reason that the world does not recognize and acknowledge us is that it does not recognize and acknowledge him. They haven't come around to a day and said, oh, God is God. Everything he said is right and true. This is the way we should go. We should turn from old things into the new thing. But for us, we know that. And so we can't try to make everybody agree with us. We have to learn to enjoy the goodness of God and encourage and invite people into it. If you're worrying like everybody else is worrying, there's a real good chance nobody will see the God you serve that day. I've never shown someone God through worry. I've never shown someone God through worry. I've never shown someone God through my anger. I've never shown someone God through my own strength. I've never shown someone God through my complaint. I've never shown someone God by not enjoying God myself. And if this is a year to give presents, man, I got a lot to give. Because I've made many rotations. I should be stocking up these quarters. I should be stocking up. And God says, this is the relationship I want you to have with everybody else in every day you live from now on. So when I come into the presence of someone this day, he says, whatever you have freely received from me in all of those days that you've been with me, if you've received it from me, freely you received, give it to him. Well, what have I received from God? Depends on how long you've been getting acquainted with him. I thought I said we weren't going to stop. All right, move on. Beloved, we are even here and now God's children. It's not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him. For we shall see him just as he really is. Yalabina. And everyone who has this hope resting on him cleanses, purifies himself as he is pure, chaste, undefiled, and guiltless. Everyone who commits, practices sin is guilty of lawlessness. For that is what sin is, lawlessness, the breaking or violating of God's law by transgressing or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. You know that he appeared in visible form and became man to take away upon himself sins. And in him there is no sin, essentially and forever. Oh, I want to stop, but no one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually commits or practices sin. Let's go. I want to say something, so let's go. Next verse, please. That's it. 1-9, please. That was the next. Oh, that was the next one? Go back to 6. No one who habitually sins has either seen or known him. Now remember, we're trying to spend every day to know him. Remember what we said before? I hope I established that. I'm trying to spend this day that my number one goal is to know him, to recognize, to perceive, to understand, and to experience him today, right? So it says, no one who habitually sins. So that means that today I wake up and with no restraint, with no concern for what he said, with no thought that the whole day is being determined by my relationship to he who spoke this day into existence. If I live that day without a worry about what I do or what I say or about what's going to happen, then it says that, what does it say? It says that I don't know him. It says I don't know him. So my sin isn't something where I don't have an advocate that God would forgive me of something. My sin, once I've come into the light that I have an advocate and I don't care, what expectation do I have for the rest of my days? Go back to 6, please. I don't want to be the only one reading. Read it with me. Ready? Read. No one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion with and obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually commits or practices sin. Well, I don't think I sinned today. Great. The Bible says, if your heart doesn't condemn you, you're not guilty, right? In my relationship with God. But I just have to make sure that my heart hasn't been seared and I haven't got to the point where I just don't even care. Habitually, continually. I want your word to come into my life so that I can get to know you better. Your word has come, and on this day you told me, this day, forgive me of all my sins. Be my advocate today. And as you are my advocate, so I will forgive everybody else today. I can't keep going day to day asking God to be my advocate, but I know what his word says. He says, if anybody has aught against his brother, you need to get it right. When? Before the sun goes down. What he's saying is don't make another turn. Don't make another turn. Now, if you know that and don't do that, but with the expectation, well, yeah, but, and you point to their offense greater than his command, and you do that day after day, that's called habitual. I'm the preacher. That's the word. If you get mad, direct it right. Can I just go freestyle a little bit? All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. This is good news. This isn't bad news. I'm trying to help your days to be God's best for you. When God's word comes to you, you're so blessed. But the Bible says the day his word comes to you, harden not your heart. And you'll find once you've entered into the light of God, you might go many, many days before God reveals to you something that you've been doing that he doesn't like. Now, it wasn't a sin up to that point because you didn't know. It wasn't a habitual, purposeful sin. You were doing things that weren't pleasing to him. And the reason that it wasn't pleasing to him is because he couldn't give you his best through your action. So then a day comes where he says, from now on, I want you to do this. You can't argue with God and say, but I've been doing this for 5 years. What are you telling me? It's been a waste for the last 5 years? You have to say, thank you, Lord, for revealing today something new to experience and to know you better with today. I choose, I will obey your word. I choose to. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, verse 5, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. Please, Lord, let there not be one day that my confession concerning you, I use it and then put you to open shame. Can you imagine crucifying Christ again today? Wouldn't you, if they tried to crucify Christ in your lifetime, don't you feel you'd be one who'd stand up and say, no? And he's telling you, if you want to be one that would stand up and say no, then today, let it be. Today. You're not going back 2,000 years ago. What do you say about today is what he wants to know. I want you to know that individual days are important. You can make decisions on one individual day that affects the rest of your life. You can make one individual decision today that affects the rest of your eternity. So every day is important. King David said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom so that I live today in wisdom. Whose wisdom? The wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. God's best for you is present today, but you have to seek it out. How am I doing? Remember, I told you encouragement goes a long way with this preacher. We're not going to be here much longer. We only have a few more scriptures and chapters and books and sermons to get out, and then we're going to go home tonight, and we're going to... Are you getting it? Let's go to Psalms chapter 1. We're going to read 1 through 3, and I want to put it in the Amplified again, if that's okay. And we're just going to read straight through Psalms 1, 1 through 3, corporately. The cadence will be, ready, read. Ready, read. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Oh, man. I hope you're seeing the connection between what we just read and what John said when we read John. Are you seeing the connection? It says that I have to be careful that I don't move and sit and become part of the ways in every individual day of the ways of the people who do not recognize, honor, and see and choose to go after the ways of God. But instead, it says that I habitually, day and night, that means consistently, I line my days and nights up. This day and this night were determined by my success based on one thing. Today was successful, not based on a job, because the job doesn't make me. It wasn't based on a compliment someone gave me, because they're just as likely to curse me the next time I see them. But it's based on how it is with my relationship with God and what new thing he's revealed to me. And it says that, here's my sunshine. That means whether day, the sun is shining on me, everything's going beautifully, or night, I'm on the dark side of things. It seems like, man, it seems like darkness is all around me. But in both occasions, what is my meditation habitually? Whatever God has said. That we meditate on what God has said, because that is how we live the day. So every day, his word should be part of my life. So now we start taking stock. Do you believe that everything you do will prosper? Raise your hand if you believe that. If your hand is up, then this is what I can say. There's no way to believe that unless you meditate on his word day and night, habitually, continually, to maturity. But if you do it day and night, you know, oh, am I going to see the fruit today? Oh, well, I know it's coming. Am I going to see the... Every day you turn, you're bringing it to fruitfulness, because you're not letting weeds get in the day. You're not letting the cares of the world come choke it out. But day by day, with patience and thanksgiving, you bring forward the maturity of God's fruitfulness in your life. And I know for sure, if he gave me the seed, I will have the fruit of it. But you can't say, oh, I'm going to be fruitful when I get halfway around the sun over there because I'm just believing hard enough. No, no, no. Show me the seed. If you don't have a seed, don't tell me that you're going to grow fruit. So the expectation is, how fruitful do you want to be? You can be as fruitful as you can. You can be so fruitful, but it will be based on the seed that you take. And you continue in, and you let the sun shine on it, and then you let it rest in your meditation, and then you wake up and your seed and water every single day, continually, consistently. It's amazing how consistently and continually we will do things that God is not part of, and then we'll pray for it at night in our worry. Oh, Lord, fix this situation. But when you wake up, he's not allowed in the day. He's not allowed to help you fix it, because when he speaks to you, the word doesn't matter. That was an amen, hallelujah. All right, this is my last place in scripture we're going to read. And then we'll go to our closing. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. I'm taking you Old Testament, New Testament, so you can see the connection. That this isn't a new command. This is an old command. This is what he said from the beginning. He has already put it in place. It's already in order. And when you find people who are successful in God, you should find somebody who habitually makes God the number one thing in every individual day. I have found that God not only rains on me, but he also snows on me. You ever had God snow on you? Right now, there's snow in the mountains, and so when I cross, I'm actually going to be hitching a ride with with Mom and Apostle, because you see that big truck he got? I feel like we can power through any storm, right? But as it's snowing up there and we start to accumulate snow, a lot of people enjoy the snow when it's there, and people are going to go snowboarding and enjoy the winter sport, but that's just for fun. You know when you really start seeing the value of snow? In a hot, dry season later. When God, on this day, if he snows on you, that means maybe he gives you some words and you don't even understand it all, but you take it and put it in your heart. And then you just keep living and you just keep praising him and you just keep praising. And one day, you're going to get into a dry day. You're going to get into a situation, and what's going to happen is that snow is going to start to melt and rivers are going to start flowing from that place, because God says, I already gave you provision for this day way back on that day. So God will snow on you. It's his way of putting his word on ice, saying, you're going to like this in a season to come. You're going to rejoice in a season up there. Because as the world's going around, guess what? God isn't spinning. He's outside of time. He's timeless. He's Alpha and Omega. He declared the end from the beginning. He knows every rotation already. He knows when you get to here what's already there before you arrive. And so today he speaks to us to bless us. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua and said, Son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, that's comforting, Lord. Thank you. I kind of saw his body laying there, not moving. We poked him and nothing happened. We kind of thought he was dead. Thank you for coming and bringing such joyful news. Sometimes God has to come and speak to you so that you don't stay in an old day, to get you to know how to move into the new day. Listen, that's dead. We don't need to bring it into the new thing. Moses is dead. You can't count on Moses any longer. You're going to have to live every day from now on without Moses and relying on me instead. There's a lot of people who their grandmother and grandfather had been praying for them, and their whole faith and their religion is based on grandma and grandpa's religion. But one day, grandma and grandpa aren't there, and God has to tell you, they're with me. Are you coming? There has to be a point where mama and daddy's prayers aren't what keep you in the day. It has to get to the point where you yourself value, treasure habitually God's presence in the life of God in every individual day out of your own choosing. Nobody's forcing. You have to come to the conclusion that you've entered a day for yourself that's not based on who else is going or what everybody else is doing, but you base it on the revelation that you're one of his, you're a child of God, and there's no other life to live this day than the life knowing who he is and having him show you something new so that you can bless him back with it. Have you come to that place? I told you, I remember the day when I said, as of this day, for God I live, for God I die. I remember when I stood up in church and said that. And I told you my cousin was watching me, because we'd grown up together as kids, playing kung fu and karate, trying not to break windows with balls. We grew up together. And so he knew me, I knew him, and he says, I was there when you said that, and my soul got grieved when you said it, because I knew I couldn't say it on that day. I knew I wasn't going to live the next day based on, for now on, every day from now on, belongs to God in my life. Do you remember the day that you started living this lifestyle? Or have you started to live it? Because at some point, you're going to have to say, this is the day that will determine the rest of them. From now on, this is how it's going to be, habitually. Have you come to that day? Young people, you don't have to wait to be my age to do it. And there's a lot of heartache you don't have to go through. Some of us have seen our parents go through heartache, and we say, I'm never going to be like that when I grow up. And then just a few rotations later, it's like, wow, I can't believe I arrived right where I said I wasn't going. I said, I won't go. And I'm here. How did I get here? Well, just because you said you didn't want to be like that didn't say you weren't on the path to go there. Mosen, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and this people, unto a land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God has something prepared to us. In every individual day that you go into, you're going to have to cross the Jordan. You're going to have to go beyond the ways of the flesh. The Bible says, now according to him, watch, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. I want you to know, above and beyond what you can ask or think in a day means you went past the Jordan. It went, you went past the ability of you, flesh and people, and you've gone into the faith and trust of what God can do above and beyond yourself. So every individual day, you have to cross the Jordan. You have to be willing to go above and beyond what you could ask or think in a day. And that's where God says, I have something for them there. Yeah, but God, it's just like this and like that. Okay, if you want to stay in your own thinking, but you're going to have to come beyond your thinking into a place that I have for you. But yeah, God, nobody's helping me. And I just... Verse 3. Watch, I like this. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, watch 3,000 years later how I perceive this. Today, he's given me this day. No. You didn't see it. This day, he's given it to me. Wherever the sole of my foot touches, in accordance to his instruction and direction to where to go, it's mine. So what are you waiting to see in this day? To see if God gave you something in the day? Or are you standing, taking the day? Are you standing... Let's read. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Oh man, I need to stretch out a little bit here. My area of influence should be a lot larger. You know? We should be sending the sole of every one of your feet through Tequila and Berrien and Seattle. If you don't go there, you don't own it. If you don't walk in the faith of what God said in the place he sends you. Come on, someone clap with me. If you don't go to where God's sending you, don't shack up, get married. You better walk in it. Next verse. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake you. Do you believe that God has put you in a place that right now, the same God that was with Moses, the same God that was with Abraham, the same God that was with David, do you believe that God is with you this day? Do you believe that really? And do you believe he's promised you, I won't fail you today? Stick with me. Wouldn't that affect the day? Wouldn't that have an impact on how the day was? If that God was with me, speaking this to me today, I'm telling you, we're going to get there. Only a few more. Let me tell you where we're going so you don't worry how long I'm going. 9. I could hear someone thinking, is he going to read the whole chapter? Be strong and of good courage. When? today. What's facing you? That's not what he's talking about. He's facing you. Who's with you? He didn't even ask you what's facing you. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide into an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I interpret this for me today as this. All these people, these are my people. You lead them in the ways this day that I tell you to take them, and they're going to receive their inheritance in it. If you will give it to them, they're... I have to say this today because this is what God has for this day. Why? Who? For you. Who is hearing my report? This is the inheritance. You're not waiting to get inheritance one day. This is the inheritance. When? Today. Will you enjoy it today? Joy is an inheritance. Peace is an inheritance. Love is an inheritance. Worship is an inheritance. Hope is an inheritance. Right word is an inheritance. It's the heritage of our family. And it's available today. But you got to walk in it. You got to step in it. You got to walk in it. I had this alarm clock that said, "Hey, baby, wake up. Come and dance with me. Yeah." And it's so repetitious. I hated it. But it was loud enough to make sure a college student didn't sleep through class. But what I found out is we can end up doing the same thing that bothered me about that alarm clock. It's speaking words about it's a great day. Hey, wake up, come here. But after a while, it's just wah, 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 wah. Some of us wake up and we have a daily devotion. Okay, God, I thank you for today. Bless today. Da, da, da. And all it's become is this tradition that you have, but it doesn't affect your day at all. It doesn't has the, it's just. Hey, baby, wake up. Next verse. Only be thou strong and very courageous. When? Today. What are you going to be strong in? Yourself? What are you strong in? In God and every word he spoke. That thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may prosper wherever you go. So he's saying, I gave you my words and my commands, not so that I would start liking you. I gave it to you so that I could guarantee the success of a day. I gave it to you so that you would prosper for sure wherever you step. Wherever you step is more than just a physical location. Some of us are stepping into new seasons and times in our lives. Some of us are going through some situations where we don't have the people and support we used to have. Some of us are going through challenges in our physical health and body. Some of us are reaching retirement and wondering, do we have enough to make it? Some of us are starting to see our children grow and ready. Are they ready to launch? Some of us are coming into question about what we're going to do with our lives. Wherever you step on that day for that season right now, he has already guaranteed a prosperous, successful way. He's already promised it, but he says you need to think about it day and night. You need to meditate on it. Don't let the devil come in your day and say, this is the day I've made. You will worry and doubt. Verse 8, we're almost there. We're almost there. Someone encouraged me to get to the end. You know, when you bring it home, this is the final stretch. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, which means you have to learn more than just meditate on it. You need to learn to talk it. You need to learn to say it. But thou shalt meditate when? Day and night, consistently. Why? That you may observe to do all that I'm commanding you. I want you to do it. Why? Because if you do it, the sole of your foot will touch the place that is blessed and sure. And verse 9, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Something struck me here, and I hope it strikes you. I'm waking up and asking God to make my day prosperous, and he's saying, no, 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 no. I've put that in your hand. No, 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 someone... If you do this, There we go. For then, is your then today? Or is your then a future day that you're believing to get to in a future time? Or is it today? He says, I've put in your power the ability for this day for you to command it to be prosperous. I have given that to you. I've already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. I've already blessed you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I already have done it. Now, on this individual day, I've given you the power to make it prosperous. Then you, say I, will make my way prosperous. You are going to make the way prosperous. How? By following him. By putting the sole of your feet in the places he told you to stand. Who agrees?